scripture is found in the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel. John chapter 10, beginning with the last half of verse 10. How many Bibles do we have here this morning? Hold them up a little bit. Terrific. Great. All right. Jesus is speaking, the last part of verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Father, we love you this morning. We have one design, one purpose in this service, and that is to lift up Jesus. To get in tune with his will. Not only to sense his presence, but to live in his presence. We pray that you'll come now and speak to our hearts through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. A little boy in kindergarten got one of his dad's shirts on. Old shirt. It's his painting smock. And he's in front of the easel, and he's splashing paints on the canvas to beat the band. And the teacher comes up and says, John, what are you painting? And he says, I'm painting a picture of God. The teacher says, well, John, you know nobody knows what God looks like. And he says, well, when I get done with this painting, they will. We all think we know pretty much what God is like. And yet when it comes right down to it, we know precious little about God. God is so vast, and our capacity for understanding is so small, that what we don't know about God so far exceeds what we do know. And yet, it was E. Stanley Jones that said, we have a Christ-like God. And what we can understand of God, we can understand best. Matter of fact, we can only truly understand through what his Son has revealed to us. And that's why it comes close and becomes simple when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the light of the world. This morning, I am the good shepherd. I suppose that we can't understand as fully as the people Jesus was speaking to because most of us are city people. I guess I've touched a sheep a few times in my life. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you've ever touched a sheep. I remember a few occasions. I pastored in the country for about 7 years, my first pastorate. I remember a few occasions of stopping my car in the springtime and watching a field of sheep when the little lambs were just old enough to run around. I tell you, that's one of the funniest things, to sit and watch lambs jump. They just have so much energy. And for no reason at all, they'll jump up and spin around and run this way and run that way. They're just fascinating little creatures, little lambies. But when they get old, they get kind of, it's like Dick was saying in our focus this morning, kind of dumb looking, and their noses run, and they have a stupid look on their face. I won't say it, but if I was in Ohio, I'd say they come from West Virginia, but that's not that's an inside joke. So we can't understand it perhaps as well as those that Jesus was speaking about, and yet I'm pretty sure we get a very good idea of what God is like in this sense when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says three things here about himself as the good shepherd. He said, I know my sheep. I'm not a hireling, I'm not here just because I'm receiving money, but I know each one of you. And then he said, I am known of my sheep. And then finally he said, I lay down my life. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's a good shepherd. I'd just like for us to think briefly about these thoughts this morning. The good shepherd. The shepherd is ample provision. He provides for his sheep. One reason he provides for the sheep is because we, like sheep, need a shepherd. It isn't very flattering to be compared to a sheep, I know, and yet sooner or later, every last one of us is going to come to the place where we have a desperate need of the good shepherd. Whether or not you believe it, right now you have a desperate need of the good shepherd, but a lot of times we're not aware of how desperately we need him. But it's wonderful to know that he said he would be there when we need him. The psalm we read together, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. I shall not want. Sheep need a shepherd. And then it's good to know that the good shepherd provides to the extremity. In other words, he said, I am willing to give my very life to provide what you need. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I just get overtones and echoes of that verse in Romans that says, he that spared not his son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Shepherd provides. And it blesses me this morning too that not only does God provide in the crises of life, but the shepherd makes provision for day-to-day living as well. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Until he cares for the details of my life. There is no prayer that's too tiny to call to the attention of the good shepherd. Eleanor Roosevelt said one time that she never prayed about personal things. She said her husband prayed, but that she didn't want to bother God with the details of life. Her concept of God was large and majestic, I suppose, and yet my concept of God is even larger and more majestic, because he not only keeps the planets from bumping into each other, but he can take care of the details of my life too. I don't know about you, but if I lose a pen or pencil, now I hope I don't blow your mind, but I pray and say, Lord, I've lost that. Can you help me find it? Is that making God my errand boy? No. It's just that I have a deep conviction that whatever bothers me bothers him. And there's nothing too small for you to take to the good shepherd. Then it says here that I know my sheep. The good shepherd knows each sheep, and he personally meets their needs. There's no mass production mentality with this shepherd. We get exactly what we need when we need it. Thy rod and thy staff. And I can see the good shepherd using that rod across the back of some sheep sometimes and move up a little bit there. I don't know that the sheep appreciates it, but it needs it. And sometimes we need the rod and the staff, and sometimes we need the green pastures, and sometimes we need the still waters. But I'm so glad that special needs get special treatments. I looked through a number of scripture references that referred to God as the shepherd and we as the sheep, to us as the sheep. And I was just blessed as I thought. There in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, it says he will lead his flock like a shepherd, and he'll carry the lambs in his arms, little ones, you know. They just been to the altar, and they just got saved, and they got those long legs, and they jump up like and run this way and run that way, and they're all full of life. And the shepherd doesn't say, that's wrong, that's wrong. He carries them along his arm. And it says he'll gently lead those that are with young. The old pregnant ewes, he just takes special care of them. He's solicitous for their concern. Then I flip over a few more verses there into the 46th chapter of Isaiah, and it says, even down to your white hair, I'll take care of you gently. He just doesn't miss a trick. He knows exactly what you need this morning. And I'm so glad that Jesus does know me in detail. I can't fool him. I've stopped trying to fool him a long time ago. But if you're one of his sheep, one of his people, sheep of his pasture this morning, just open up and say, Good Shepherd, what is it that I need? And then it says, I am known of my sheep. The Good Shepherd is the source of assurance. Jesus is the specialist in spiritual certainty. That psalm that we read said, I will fear no evil because I have studied the Church of the Nazarene Manual. And I will fear no evil because I know all the rules. I will fear no evil because I am careful to keep myself unspotted from the world. All these things are important. But the psalm says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's that presence of Jesus. And where certainty or assurance or joy or blessing is lacking, it's been supplanted with fret and worry. Do you think it's the Good Shepherd's fault? Perhaps it's because we as sheep have strayed away and we need the comfort of being close again to the Shepherd. It's not very flattering to be thought of as a sheep. You know, the nose is running, the stupid look on the face and all. And yet we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and every one of us at some time or another have experienced that dullness of soul, that sense of wishing that we could just draw up close to the Shepherd again. How do sheep go astray? I don't know. I've never been a shepherd. I don't even know if I've touched a sheep. But I can just imagine that here's an old woolly sheep, and he's chewing on a tuft of grass, and he doesn't pay attention to the other sheep or the shepherd, and he sees another tuft of grass over there about 6 feet, and he goes over there and nibbles a little bit. Nibbles a little bit more. Pretty soon he's over the hill, and then he's over somewhere else, and he looks around. And in his old sheep way, he says, Where's the shepherd? Just day by day, taking care of grazing from tuft to tuft. Nothing evil, nothing sinful, just carelessness. Not taking care to check back with the shepherd regularly. I've been that sheep many times. I've sent my bleat up to the Lord, and you know he's heard me. Now, some of you sheep here this morning, if you haven't been just eating from tuft to tuft, you've been too busy to check in with the shepherd. You've just been too busy. And I think possibly for many of the older people here this morning, it's our besetting sin. We get enjoying to what we're doing, and we get involved with our work, and we really perhaps are doing the Lord's work. But there's nothing that takes the place of that communion with the shepherd. And if you've been so busy this past week, in the past weeks, that you just wish you could draw up close to the shepherd, there's nothing stopping you today. The shepherd says, I want to bring you in close. Some of us may have strayed away by following sheep instead of following the shepherd. Just because you see some old woolly back going in front of you doesn't mean that woolly back is right. You know? Say, but it's a good woolly back. That's the beautiful thing about following the shepherd. You don't have to follow anybody else, no matter how good or godly they are. Maybe the shepherd sent them on a special mission, and you're going to wake up in the wrong place, you know. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. And the shepherd is the source of our assurance. And that psalm says, thou preparest a table before me. We're going to take communion together this morning. And I just say to you, why don't we take this opportunity to respond to the Good Shepherd? I wonder if we got real quiet in our hearts before the Lord, if we could hear the Good Shepherd calling. You know, in Matthew 18, there's the picture of the shepherd with 100 sheep, and 99 are safe, and there's one out on the mountainside, and he goes looking. I wondered if we got quiet this morning, if the shepherd would be calling, if you could hear him calling. And he might be even calling for you. We're like sheep, and yet we're not like sheep either, in that we have to respond. The shepherd's not going to go out and throw a noose around your neck and corral you and drag you back to where you ought to be. He's going to go out and find you and speak to you And if you'll follow him, he'll bring you to where you want to be. But I would challenge you this morning to make this communion time your time of responding to the Good Shepherd. How much he loves you. How much he loves me. How much he wants us to be close to him. Our special needs met in a very special way. Communion is both an intensely personal and a thrillingly communal time, especially today when you realize that all through Christendom, this is Worldwide Communion Sunday. And as the bread and the cup is passed through our pews, it's not just that we're taking communion with each other, but we're joining hands. We're around the table of God, everyone in true faith. I just pray that as the thousands and even millions come to the table this morning, that each one of us will realize that the Good Shepherd is looking at us, at me personally. He wants to know how I'm doing. He wants to know how you're doing. I pray that this will be a time when we renew our vow, when we confess our wandering, even our backsliding if necessary, and tell the gentle shepherd that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, and ask him to show us where we are today, how far it is we've strayed, and where it is that we ought to be, and by his gentle grace, tell him that we're going to follow him to where he wants us to be. Just a minute, we're going to serve communion. When you serve communion to this many people, it takes a period of time, and it can be a dead period of time. Just mechanically, the business of passing out trays to this many people. We can look around and say, is this one served or has that one been served? And worry about the mechanics of it. Or we can take this time and shut ourselves in and thank God for each other and thank God for the privilege of taking communion together. But take this time within our own hearts to respond to the gentle shepherd, the good shepherd. And I pray that these next few minutes will be a time when every one of us move right up next to the heart of Jesus, right up close to where he wants us to be. I want to move up. I want God to make me sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want God to make us as one person open and willing to do what God would have us to do. I'm going to ask that we pray now. Commit these elements, and then we're going to take communion together. Just a word about the mechanics of passing the bread and the cup this morning. As the tray goes through your row, I want you to feel this morning that you're both a server and a receiver. There's a sense in which we can and we must share the life of Jesus each with the other. As the trays go from hand to hand this morning, let's be aware of the rich symbolism that the least of us, whoever that may be, can minister to the greatest of us. And we can receive from each other and from Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray your blessing upon these elements that represent your broken body and your shed blood. And we pray that somehow as we, in obedience, eat and drink, that these elements may become a means of grace to our heart, that this obedience might mean to us what you intend for it to mean. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to each of our hearts. Bless us together, we pray, as we do this in obedience to your commandment. Amen. Now I invite you to take these next few minutes, make them very personal minutes between you and the Good Shepherd.